WNST, Towson, Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. We are positively into a beautiful spring weekend here. Orioles are blooming. Ravens are hopeful, I guess. I certainly had a great kickoff to the weekend. Spent the day with a lot of dear friends of ours up in Bel Air. Pappas, Mickey Coachella dropped by, Barry Glassman dropped by, big turn for the Chesapeake Feline Association and our friends up in Cecil County. We're going to be broadcasting from Adams Jeep on May 6th as well. Maryland Crab Cake Tour's out on the road. It's all brought to you by the Maryland Lottery. I got tickets around here somewhere. I got a cat shirt. I got my Chesapeake cat shirt. I'll be giving these away on the 27th. We're going to be at Captain Larry's. That's Thursday. That's draft day. Lucas will be ready for the castle and everything that's going to be going on. Who knows what's going to happen on draft day or around that period of time. Then on the 28th, the next morning, I'm wearing my Fade Lee shirt because we're going to be at the market, at the old market, maybe the last time. I'm trying to put a nice show together to honor CFG Bank and everything that's happening downtown in the Hippodrome. That is the 28th. That's Friday the 28th. It's all brought to you by the Maryland Lottery. And I did get a chance to wear the Window Nation floppy hat. 866-90-NATION. You buy two, you get two free. 5 years, 0% financing. A lot of things, and I'm going to talk to Harley and everybody. They don't keep the ants out. You got to get Pest Czar to do that because it's springtime. And I got ants. I need uncles. I tell you what, Adley Rutschman, he's somebody's daddy because, like, this kid can play baseball. Luke, you had quite a day. And I just before you get going, I want to go on my own little 30-second rant and say what the Orioles and the Ravens do to our company is horrific in running you around the two events when clearly, you know, I could have, should have been at one and you couldn't have been, but you were at both. Do tell, how was your Thursday other than very, very active?
It was very, very active. And I think the funniest part of the day was I left Owings Mills shortly after the Odell Beckham press conference, and the Orioles were just entering the bottom of the third, that bottom of the third where they scored runs and knocked the starter out, all of that. It was a long bottom of the third inning. So I left Owings Mills, which with no traffic, you can get to the ballpark in, I don't know, 22, 23 minutes, something like that. I pulled into Lot A at Camden Yards as the third out was being made in the bottom of the third. When I left, I'm thinking, I hope I get there by the fifth. You know, I don't want to be rolling into the ballpark in the sixth inning and, you know, only seeing a few innings. So that was probably the funniest part. But as I joked on Twitter to kind of wrap up the day, so much Odell Beckham discussion, and we'll get to him. But I don't know if it was the money or Lamar Jackson as much as maybe Odell Beckham just wants to be closer to Adley Rutschman with what he did on Thursday afternoon. And let's face it, kind of saving the Orioles in a, even though a series win, a frustrating series because of just how poorly they're pitching by and large. So, but we've said it going back to what, late June of last year when he really started to get going after, you know, a slow 3 weeks to begin his major league career. This guy's their best player, and he continues to just look like he belongs. And I think Brandon Hyde said it best when he was asked after Adley Rutschman hits the walk-off home run in the 8-7 win for the Orioles. He just said that Adley just looks like that guy who wants to be up at the plate when the game's on the line in that situation. And certainly he delivered with his first walk-off home run as the Orioles got the win and the series win over Oakland on Thursday.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know where the superlatives are for the young man. And again, they don't pitch well. I mean, they hit the ball and they made the ballpark bigger. And I had Elias sit in front of a bunch of executives and really talk about recruiting pitchers. And I don't know that I really heard them talk that much about recruiting pitchers. I know I talked about it the day that they moved the fences back. But even moving the fences back and where they are, they hit the ball. And in this ballpark, when it's 95 degrees, they're going to hit the ball. So health aside, the sluggers they have, the Hendersons, and my goodness, I mean, Mancini was a part of this 5 minutes ago. You know, they've lost bats in the way of all of this as well. But this guy, I don't know where the top side is because we sat here and watched Weeders. I saw Johnny Bench and Thurman Munson and Carlton Fisk and guys who were great offensive players. I mean, I think we've all seen Maurer and Buster Posey and, you know, the modern day Cal Ripken of catchers, right? You know what I mean? He's the Cal Ripken of catchers, kind of, sort of, around here at least.
I mean, he quite frankly, he's everything that Matt Wieters was advertised to be. And look, and I don't say that as much as a jab at Matt Wieters. I mean, you're still talking about a guy who went to multiple All-Star games. You're talking about a guy who won Gold Gloves. You're talking about a guy who was still very much a plus catcher, but he wasn't that. I don't know if generational talent is too strong, but he certainly wasn't that game changer where you're like, oh my gosh, this guy is their best player. He's their best player, and it's not even close. And look, apologies to Ryan Mountcastle and what he's done to start the year because he's been fantastic. But Adley Rutschman's their best player when you look at what he does across the board. And he was last year being voted most valuable Oriole as a rookie. But it's just everything he does, and it's the presence. You pointed out they haven't pitched well. I think they'll reach their ceiling from a pitching staff because of him. That doesn't mean that he's going to turn bad pitchers into great pitchers, but I think they will get straightened out at least to be as good as they're capable of being. And we saw that last year with the way that they pitched from the point he arrived in late May. So he just, you don't want to put too much on him to start comparing him to some of the names that you just threw out there, but it really is uncanny just how good he already is. And look, that shouldn't be a shock considering he was one of those rare college baseball players that I don't want to say every baseball fan had heard of, but his name had been mentioned for the better part of a couple years leading up to that 2019 draft, coming out of Oregon State. So, he has a presence to him. He's got fantastic ability. You see the power. I mean, this year, and we talked about it last year, after those first few weeks, he walks as much as he strikes out or close to it, which in today's game is very rare. I mean, it's very rare. So, this year he's hitting for average early on, acknowledging it's still very early. He's swinging the bat better from the right side, which he had not done last year. I know that was a major point of emphasis for him in the offseason to be better from the right side against left-handed pitching. I
And
mean,
you
he
can't
just.
shift on him anymore either, right? So that's something that
Yeah.
they would have gotten a real good book on him and moved around. And that's how the game's changed a little bit, that it opens it up for a guy like him.
It does, but he also, he shows ability to go the other way. So even if the shift were still being employed, I don't think it impacts him as much. But certainly, when we talk about the shift, it would impact left-handed hitters, and he swings from the left side most of the time because you're facing right-handed pitching. But about the only thing he doesn't do is he's not fast. I mean, he's a catcher, but he runs the bases well
I thought of
overall.
Matt
So.
Wieters as being particularly slow. When I think of all the things about Wieters, and now that I see a kid with this incredible enthusiasm, right? Like that you saw right away, this sort of, chatter, old school, Bad News Bears kind of thing from the beginning when he came in. I mean, the team got good the minute he got here. It's not an
Right.
accident, right? I mean, there was an energy involved that I'd like to see in the stands, quite frankly, because it sucks watching him hit walk-offs on afternoon games. It looks like there's 5,000 people there. But the enthusiasm that he brings draws people like me to want to come and watch him play. And then when you come and watch him play, he hits walk-off home runs. That's Babe Ruthy kind of stuff in a reason to go and watch him play and a reason to sort of get on the train early, as Caps fans did with Ovechkin in the beginning. I'm just thinking a phenom. I mean, Lamar's a phenom. I mean, really, I mean, call it what it is. Nobody's ever played the game like him, and that's a fact. So that we had that going on in the beginning. But, this is different for baseball, and I think different for comparisons across eras and what the catcher position is, and that the catcher position affects every part of the game. And that was one part, and I'm not ragging on Wieters either, but he wasn't like a leader of men or an enthusiast. He was a really good player, but I don't want to say he was demure, but he wasn't the first guy to get into a pile in a scuffle. You know what I mean? I mean, Rutschman feels like they're going to put him on posters in front of, that you're not going to screw with the Orioles because he's behind the plate, and he's going to be a manager by the time he's 28. Like a
Yeah.
major league manager by the time he's 28.
Yeah, I agree. I agree with your sentiment with Rutschman. I think Wieters had a little more of that than maybe you're giving him credit for, but
Well,
he
you think Wieters
certainly.
is going to be a manager, right? You've said that, I think, out loud.
I think he could. I mean, I don't know if he will, And again, when you're talking about these guys, when they get out of their playing days, I mean, baseball's tough. I mean, I
He made
look.
$100 million. Let him go live, right? I mean, he didn't need to manage baseball, right? Literally.
I don't think Weeder's made that much money, but
Yeah, he
he
probably
made
made some
money.
good money. Yeah.
He made some real money. Sure. So, but you know, I think with Adley, he does have an aura to. And what's interesting about that, Nestor, is, you know, from a media standpoint, I don't get the sense that he really enjoys that part of it a whole lot. And I don't say that as a criticism. Like, you know, I'm not saying he has to enjoy that part. I mean, he fulfills his obligations in that way. So I don't think he necessarily likes the spotlight in that way. But I think when you're talking about him with his teammates, with his team, he's so comfortable in his own skin. You know, even at last year when he's called up at age 24, he just, you know, from a very early position, just, you know, he felt like he belonged, and that was his job, and this is his team, and he's not going to say it's his team because that sounds boastful, right? That sounds like you're making it about you, but it's his team, and I think his teammates follow that. They follow his lead in that way, and you know, whether
Well,
it's
really, but you own the team when you hit the home run, right? You know,
sure.
that's you win everybody over when you do that, even if you're Albert Bell, literally. We've
Sure,
seen
sure.
that. Yeah.
Well, and last year we saw other guys do that. So, you know, I mean, you're not going to hit the walk off every single night. You're not going to be the hero every single night. But when it's your team, guys take cues from you as far as preparation, as far as being ready to play. You mentioned, you know, if you do have, you know, some kind of scuffle or anything like that, and I'm not sure Adley's really been involved in too much of that at this point in time.
I don't
You know,
mean
but
like that. I just mean like a leader.
sure.
You want that guy there with you, and that's what a leader would be about it. I mean, dude, it's baseball. It's going to be, that's going to happen. I promise you. And the catcher's involved always.
No question, no question. And you know, I mean, we see the little chat he has with the pitcher every time they retire the side. I mean, what other catcher do you see doing that other than what, the little league or high school level, right?
And it's
And
not performative, as
it's
opposed to
not.
whatever Odell Beckham, whatever you left, there's a lot of performative going on out in Owings Mills that, they're performing. Rutschman's just playing ball, and there's a part of that in this town that's going to play.
Yeah, no
Drinking
question.
beer and doing, I mean, he's done the right things of being a decent kid so far, not, knock on wood, but it's going to affect change. And when there are nights this summer when there's 20, 30, 40,000 down, they're getting the bobblehead, doing the fireworks, he's going to be a reason to come. He's going to be a reason to get a 35 jersey. It doesn't say Messina on it, which still weirds me out, by the way.
Yeah, it's definitely strange. I mean, you know, the potential to have two, and look, again, long way to go for Adley Rutschman, but the potential to have two players of a special ilk, certainly Mike Mussina, you know, he's a Hall of Famer. Even if you don't think of him as one of the core Hall of Famers that we've all come to know and love over the history of the Orioles, Mike Mussina belongs in that category in terms of just how great he was, how really good he was for a really
This
long
is
time in
where
the
I
AL East.
interject on behalf of the Messina family and say he never would have left Baltimore had
I
the
understand.
Orioles
Yeah.
not be owned by a screwball. So, like,
Yeah.
when we rewrite that he 35 is available and that there's not a statue of him out on the pavement, this goes back to Lamar Jackson and this cheapskate. There was no salary cap. He had plenty of money. It screwed the entire franchise up. It had everybody lose faith, which should be a cautionary tale for Adley Rutschman that is forever for any reason. I mean, dude, I was at an executive meeting the other day and they're asking about locking him up already, right? So this is where these organizations intersect and where one has had so much success and the other one has had so much awfulness that it led to a 1-1 and that they could get an Adley Rutschman. The Ravens better hope they're not in the situation 3 years from now falling down the mountain and winding up with the number one pick in the draft, right? Like that all of this is cyclical, but you gotta hit. And they hit on this kid and they hit on a couple of kids and I think they hit on Elias, quite frankly, right? So I think over the next 5 years, there's going to be more opportunity for you to have fun in the summer down at the ballpark than maybe in the fall at the stadium.
Yeah, I mean, I think you're getting a little ahead on the Ravens. I mean, let's see how that plays out. You know,
I think
let's
ahead
at
on
least
the
see how
Orioles
the
is
Lamar
okay. I mean,
Jackson
I'm
thing
being
plays out over
optimistic
the
on the
next year
Orioles.
or two.
Yeah,
But
I'm not
sure.
downplaying the Ravens. I'm upselling the Orioles.
No, I. Yeah, I think that's fair. I think it's definitely fair. I mean, still, we're going to have to come back to the pitching. You know, we've talked about Grayson Rodriguez. He's here. I want to see him continue to be in the starting rotation. You know, the indications are Cole Irvin, who was one of their offseason acquisitions, is being optioned because he's, you know, even going back to the spring, I think there's something off. You know, this is not what they acquired, you know, but with him struggling as mightily as he has. So, you know, he has options. So, you know, do you send them down for a little bit and see if you can get something straightened out, whether it's a mechanical flaw, whatever it might be, but they have to pitch better. And the one thing you can say about Mike Elias, and I agree with your overall sentiment, and certainly you look at the positional talent in this organization, top to bottom, you know, it's second to none around baseball. I mean, that's where the strength of their system is. It's all their position player talent. The question is the pitching. You know, it's one thing to talk about Grayson Rodriguez, who, by the way, was the final draft first round pick of the Dan Duquette era. Talk about DL Hall is still building up his innings and his starter, you know, kind of routine at AAA Norfolk after an offseason back issue. But, you know, after that, you know, you've got some other guys, you know, that they acquired. I mean, the pitcher from Tampa Bay that they acquired in that three-way deal where they traded Mancini, Seth Johnson, but he's coming, you know, he had Tommy John surgery late last summer, so he's not an option this year. You have some other pitchers they've acquired that are interesting, but that's the big question. And that's the big question about the current team. They're hitting the ball. There's no question about that. I do feel optimistic that they're going to straighten things out defensively, but we continue to see defensive miscues, which is just weird to me because this team was very sound and strong defensively last year. But I still have faith that that part will get straightened out. The pitching, you know, we had questions about that going into the season. And look, that doesn't mean that it won't get better. That doesn't mean that it ultimately won't be good enough to be in the playoff race and maybe grab one of those wild card spots. But as it stands right now, it's a lot of pressure on Adley Rutschman and the rest of that lineup to produce because they're just not pitching very well, save for a few guys. You know, you feel good about Gibson. You know, Tyler Wells has pitched better more often than not early on. Felix Bautista, certainly. Danny Coulomb, who they picked up at the end of spring training, he's been a really nice addition to the bullpen. Baker, since his first outing of the season, has been really strong. After that, you know, it's been kind of a crapshoot what you're going to get. And that's probably the nicest way you could put it about most of their arms. So they have to pitch better. There's no doubt about it. And that's where you look at this series and say, okay, they took 3 out of 4 from the A's. That's what you want to do against an inferior team. But you had looked at Oakland's offense coming into this series and they were struggling to score runs. They didn't struggle to score runs very, very much over the course of that series. So, you know, you'd like to, you know, I understand you're not going to beat teams 9-1 every night, but you got to be able to pitch better than they have to this point. So you give them credit because they're, you know, 7-6 going into the Chicago series. And, you know, they're, you know, certainly staying afloat, although Tampa Bay looks like they're winning the AL East in 84 Tigers style at this rate. But, you know, the Orioles are certainly, you know, they're doing enough to win, you know, win games, you know, win as many as, you know, a little more than they're losing, but they've got to pitch better because you're not going to be able to count on Adley Rutschman hitting 373 and Mountcastle having 9 RBI games. So, you know, other guys in that lineup will start hitting and, you know, Gunnar Henderson's off, one of those guys off to a slow start, Mullins as well. But in the big picture sense, they certainly need to pitch better than they have through the first couple of weeks of the season. I think even the most optimistic Orioles fan would acknowledge that.
Dude, I love when a kid your age mentions the 84 Tigers because yours truly was part of all that. So, you know, they used to sell the lower reserve ticket, the general admission. They made them lower reserve in 84 when the Tigers, Yankees, Red Sox came to town. So you had a reserve ticket out on the tin. And I'll never forget seeing Lance Parrish hit bombs out there. I mean, there was a weekend in June and they were 35-5. That's how good they're 35-5. And I remember it vividly, but they played a series here, June 8, 9, 10, 11, like a 4-gamer. And the Orioles got their ass kicked. And it was over after that, you know, for the Orioles, at least as defending champions. Of course there was no wild card and all that stuff, but what Tampa's doing should have everyone take note in the division about playing for second place or whatever you would call it at this point. And also the pitching. Look, I want to get some football, and Luke is here. It's weekend time. We're going to be around next week, getting you ready for the draft. Give me 5 minutes on Odell Beckham. We'll do more next week because we did more last week and you did some with that. But just the press conference itself, other than what questions you couldn't ask, and the fact that I wasn't allowed to go. And it's the first free agent press conference in the history of the franchise that I haven't attended. I mean,
absolutely.
Like, literally.
One quick factoid I want to give you on the Rays, because it's that incredible. Through their first 13 games, they have hit more home runs than they've allowed earned runs. Go look it up. Incredible.
That's crazy.
Odell Beckham.
And they're pitching better, is what you're telling me.
Yeah, they're mashing the base, smashing the baseball, and they are not allowing very much of the smashing of the baseball. But Odell Beckham, you know, press conference. Look, this was about what I expected it to be. I think the Ravens are excited about Odell Beckham. They should be when you're giving them $15 million guaranteed. I think you saw an individual who, let's face it, having played in New York, having played in LA, having received big time free agent or, you know, big time contracts, let's say, you know, and you go back to Cleveland and what, you know, them acquiring him and the money they paid him. This is someone who's used to the spotlight. And from that standpoint, I thought he came across as very polished. I thought he came across as sincere, at least from the standpoint of what he's been through the last couple years physically. Look, no money in the world is going to make it easy to rehab from the kind of injuries that Odell Beckham has had and having to have an ACL redone. And knowing that you go from maybe being Super Bowl MVP to not finishing the game when your knee collapses on you in the midst of that Rams-Bengals game. So, you know, from that standpoint, I think he came across well. I think everything that was said about Lamar Jackson and the tone very much reverted to what we had seen pre-draft press conference as far as Eric and John Harbaugh talking about Lamar. But Odell Beckham, no assurances. You know, he said, look, my plan, my hope, my expectation, if I'm being honest, is, yeah, Lamar is going to be my quarterback, but the Ravens haven't given me any assurances. Lamar hasn't told me that 100%. And even if he and Lamar in private talked about the strong likelihood or maybe even a near certainty, if depending on how you want to view it, it's not official until it's official. Until Lamar at the very least signs his franchise tag, then we are talking about uncertainty and you are still talking about some non-zero chance of another team getting involved, whether it's right before the draft, right after the draft, whatever. But with Beckham, you know, look, he talked a lot about the Ravens showing him love. He talked about Steve Bisciotti having talked to him, but it's where you keep coming back to, they overpaid for him. And look, this deal could work out great. If he's truly healthy and back to where he was physically 3 years ago, this will be a plus addition for the Ravens in terms of his ability. And they certainly needed it at wide receiver. And it would be disingenuous of a guy like me, who's taken them to task quite often over the years about wide receiver, to say that they shouldn't have taken a big swing. Now, could I have said they could have taken a big swing on, say, trading for DeAndre Hopkins? Sure, but that's not what they did. And that maybe that wasn't something that was an option for them. But I think with Beckham, you know, you keep coming back to, it's real easy for everyone to sound so excited and for him to say they showed him a bunch of love and that it wasn't that much about the money, but you got $15 million. And I'll also remind you, that is tied for 21st in average annual value for wide receivers. So this is the Ravens kind of getting with the modern day, so to speak. This isn't a top five paid wide receiver or anything. This is a guy who is making more than he probably should be based on the last couple of years and the injury, but it's not as though they're paying him top of market money. So, you know, the expectation, time will tell. Eric DaCosta said they're very comfortable with where he is physically. We'll see. You know, there's a lot to unpack there in terms of what he's been through physically the last few years. And to think just how far removed he is from his days of being an absolute elite of an elite wide receiver for the New York Giants his first 3 years. I mean, that was 7 years ago at this point in time, 4 years since his last 1,000-yard season. So this is quite the expensive gamble. But as Eric DaCosta said, he felt that they were in a position where they needed to make this kind of a move to take their offense to the next level. Guys like us have talked a lot about Lamar Jackson and his passing, or the passing offense in general, and taking it to the next level and moving on from Greg Roman and all of that. So we'll see how Odell Beckham Jr. fits into that picture. You know, the upside, I think, is, you know, not a 1,300 yard receiver like he was in his early days with the Giants, but, you know, can he be a 900 to 1,000 yard receiver coupled with Rashad Bateman staying on the field? If you do that, you do have a much better passing game, under the assumption Lamar Jackson is back, at least for this year. And again, until we see any evidence suggesting otherwise, I think that's the assumption we have to go under. You know, if the Indianapolis Colts or someone else comes calling, maybe the Commanders under new ownership, then we'll have that conversation. But until something like that happens, we're deep enough into the offseason where I think you just have to say, for this year, I have no idea about next year or long term, but for this year, this move to me, as I said at the start of the week when we talked about this, reinforces Lamar Jackson most likely being here in 2023. We'll see how it all works out. But as the press conference went, again, nothing earth-shattering. It went about how I thought it would. And you had a happy player and a happy general manager and a happy head coach all talking about a quarterback that, well, they're hoping he's happier after the Ravens made this move. And time will tell, because
so you were allowed to talk about Lamar. I just want to make that clear this week. You were allowed. Those questions were,
we were
allowed this week. Okay.
They were, and there were several asked, and they answered them. And, you know, Eric, he leaned back on the not disclosing specific details of his conversations with Lamar, which I respect that. But, yeah, I mean, it was something that was talked about. And, you know, Beckham said that, look, he's optimistic. I think we all assumed, yeah, he wants to play with Lamar Jackson, but the $15 million made it an easier gamble for him, knowing that Lamar's not 100%.
I wonder what second place was for him, what anybody else was willing to offer him in regard to incentives in their offense, and putting him in an offense where he knew he would get the ball more often and knew who his quarterback would be. It's, I don't want to say this is not a fascinating play for him. He took maximum money. I mean, as Andrew Brandt would say, he's winning at the game of football, at the business of football. And you know, Darrell Revis has done, a lot of guys have done this. Deion did this. Bounced from place to place and took as much money as he could get every year. I mean, so there's a track record for this. But the Ravens, this is a curious move for me. I'm not going to urinate upon it because he's a world-class athlete. He may be that, but I think to buy into it and for him to buy in, if they're standing in the winner's circle, this would be one of those moments where they really took a reach. And Bisciotti's had moments like that in his life. I think he thinks this is a moment of inspiration.
Yeah, or a moment of desperation. If we're being honest, I mean, that, yeah, that word has come to mind a lot. And look, that doesn't mean it won't work. Sometimes desperate moves do work out, you know. But it's certainly,
they fired Cam Cameron and won the Super Bowl 8 weeks later. Find
exactly
me somebody that did that.
They drafted Lamar Jackson, which a lot of teams did not want to do. And, you know, it's fair to say that worked out much better than a lot of people anticipated, you know, regardless of still chasing playoff success. But, you know, I think, you know, several days later, I'm still going to go back to the word that I used when we talked about it, shocked, because it's just that un-Raven-like. But again, I will, even if this move doesn't work out, I will applaud them for taking this kind of swing at the wide receiver position, which they just frankly had not done in a very long time. Got to go back to when they traded for Bolden and extended him. You go back to signing Derek Mason back in 05. And look, the dollars for this is way more than that, but I'm talking relative to the time, relative to the salary cap at that moment in time. You've got to go back to those moments for the Ravens to be in this kind of, you know, on this kind of pay scale with a wide receiver. So we'll see how it plays out.
They better hope that this time next year he was worth $15 million and they want to sign him up for two more years for another 24. You know what I mean? Like, if that works out, great. But if it doesn't, you know, they took a swing and they can say they're trying. And that's what I said a week ago. They're trying, and I'm okay with that. So that being said, we'll take a break. Luke is never taking a break because he never stops chasing the Orioles and the Ravens around, although the Orioles getting out of town and giving him a little bit of a break. Draft coming up on the 27th. We're doing the Maryland Crab Cake Tour presented by our friends at the Maryland Lottery in conjunction with Window Nation. We'll be doing it downtown twice. Yes, it's Baltimore Positive in the city. We're going to be at Captain Larry's on the 27th in the afternoon, 2 until 5. And then on Friday morning, we'll be at Fadley's on the 28th. That is draft pre and draft post. And Luke and I will be up late all night. Who knows how that's going to go on the 27th to 28th. But I'll be looking forward to that while we watch the Orioles and while we hang out. It's easy to find me, Ness at Baltimore Positive. You can find Luke at Baltimore Positive as well, and Baltimore Luke out on the interwebs. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore, and we never stop talking. Odell Beckham, Orioles baseball, and Adley Rutschman for the Hall of Fame.